Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon, heading towards the kickoff at 3 o'clock. The Sydney Roosters taking on the Sharkies and what promises to be a great game of footy. Plenty to get through before we hand over to Maroon. Peter Sterling will join us at 2:30 as we preview the game. We'll also get to the NRL stock market very shortly in a moment. Also, what does the Fox say? I should just mention that Wendell Saylor and Brisbane, of course, tomorrow he will be ringside at the Manny Pacquiao-Jeff Horn fight. Are you preparing to bling up? Are you going to box? Are you going to be some heavy chains? What are you going to wear?
Are you ringside or in the box, Wendell?
No, I'm in the box.
I'll just
go and find the cameras. I'll make sure the cameras get me.
have you chosen an outfit yet for tomorrow?
No, we've got a couple. Mate, I just, like, last night.
Talk us through it.
People tell me I look good at the Broncos last night. I said, it's a bit of prime time for Dell. Look, I bought three titles to this city, so I've got to make sure that I'm looking a treat tomorrow.
What did you wear last night? What was your choice?
Just some jeans and a nice jacket, a little tight fitting underneath, a little red hanky. I'll send you a picture later, Tone.
A red hanky in the pocket, like a kerchief style.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, James Hooper, are you going to the fight?
No, not tomorrow, no, Tone. I'll be watching it. Yeah. I'm going to watch it at West Ashfield.
Okay.
West Ashfield League Club on Liverpool Road there. All right. So, yeah, I'm just going up with a group of mates. And can't wait.
All right, time now for this.
Bucks, give it to me this week. The Pac-Man and the home. Yeah,
it's Bucks. It's getting more and more disturbing, I think. Okay, so, look, the Blues have got some injury concerns, Tone, because Tyson Frizzell out of that game last night, he's going to have to go for an MRI scan tomorrow. Everyone's hoping that he's okay because you want to see the best players involved in State of Origin 3. But he's got a new issue in terms of his rib cartilage. He had an existing one that he was already getting needles for. There's now further damage, which is...
It's holding around his back.
Yeah, his back area. Yeah. So, look, everyone's got all their fingers crossed, but there's a little bit of a wait and see about whether he will be able to feature in that State of Origin 3 game. James Tedesco is also out of tomorrow's game against the Knights for the Tigers. That's also a worry. Hopefully his ankle is going to be okay. In terms of the Bulldogs, obviously they're going through a really hard time at the moment. They've actually got a members' day on at Belmore today, and they are asking their fans. Yeah, I wonder what some of the members. I wonder if Desi will be there.
Is there a jumping castle? What's happening?
They're asking their fans and members to come out to Belmore Oval next weekend. They play the Knights and bid farewell to one of their favourite local juniors, Josh Reynolds.
Yep.
Look, fingers crossed they might get a turnout there. And finally, I just want to pay a bit of a tribute to one of the great blokes of rugby league, Barry Toohey, who has covered the game for many, many years. He's retired from the Telegraph as of today. I've been lucky enough, Tone, to work alongside some awesome people over the course of being a reporter, but Baz is in the grand final every single day. Absolute champion.
And how did I go against him?
How did you go?
In the grand final.
Yeah, everyone's up there. But no, look, he, absolute gentleman of a bloke, first-class reporter, and he'll be sorely missed.
And he was a man who I think ghost wrote Andrew John's column for some time.
So he did Joey's column through all the glory years, so they're very tight, and he's got some great stories.
All right, in the New South Wales Cup, I'm just noticing 16-0 Wyong over Newtown. If there is both Tyson Frizzell, just worst case scenario, and it's all everything's coming up Queensland, I don't know how New South Wales are now listed as favourites for the third set of Origin. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
It's at Suncorp Stadium, and his team of true champions. Farewell Cooper Cronk, Jonathan Thurston.
Maybe Billy Slater.
Exactly. Maybe Daly Cherry Evans.
They've still got four future immortals in the side,
No, absolutely. What if both Boyd Cordner and Tyson Frizzell. You mentioned Jack DeBellin sliding in. He's been in the camp situation. You mentioned somebody who way out of left field.
Well, look, I think we got an abundance of back rowers, New South Wales. You mean you got Trent Merrin, who I thought was brought into camp last time, and then you got a guy like Nathan Smith, who has been in great form this year. Probably one of the buys. One of the buys of the season. Parramatta certainly playing in that middle third of the field, plays at 13, got great ball skills, really aggressive.
So aggressive.
Great defender and just got a real real appetite for work. And I think he'd love the arena. And I don't think he'll be too far away in the coming years of certainly being part of the squad and probably getting a run at some point.
He's taken a bit of the rubbish out. Sorry, Hoops, a bit of the rubbish out of his game because he did do a bit of that in the past couple of seasons.
You're spot on, Tone. Yeah, you're right. I reckon that's been the biggest difference for him this year is that he's cut out last year at times. I think he was labelled a grub and headlines like that, which is very, very heavy. But he's got rid of all the rubbish. And that hit that he put on Dylan Napa when Parramatta played the Roosters earlier this year, that's still one of the highlights of the season. It was brilliant. I reckon he's probably just a little way off at the moment, Gerds.
Probably needs to play some finals footy this year with the Eels and then continue his form next year. But certainly a guy that in the future they'll be looking at.
Yeah, well, with Frizzell, if Tyson's unavailable, I think they would perhaps look at moving Josh Jackson to that right side. And you've got options with Wade Graham on the bench. Jack DeBellin's been part of the system, so he could play in the middle. But they're going to have some decisions to make.
Well, he was our man of the match the other night. Like he was outstanding. I think 245 metres, and he just at half time. I think he had about 140, 150 metres up at half time, and he just looks like he's got a really good motor. It's a bit like Trent Merrin. They don't look like your typical NRL athletes, but they just find this the next effort and the extra efforts.
He plays a little like Jake Trbojevic to the point where he runs with the sort of football in front of him, looking for support inside and outside, and he's certainly got a lot of skill to his game, a lot of timing. Obviously, he was a first grade cricketer as well, a lot of strings to his bow, and I think he's one of the main reasons Parramatta are heading in the direction they are at the moment.
All right, get out your notepads, get out your wallets. The NRL stock market is next. Saturday Triple M NRL, Wendell Saylor, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler and James Hooper with you, as we said, heading towards that great game of football at Gosford. Beautiful Gosford. It's great to see a game of footy there.
We're getting the game out there, Tony. Adelaide last week, Perth today, back in the Central Coast. Considering the NRL has no plans to expand the game, they're spreading the love, aren't they?
Yeah, well, because it was the Roosters in Adelaide as well with a 1-point victory.
Yeah, last week.
That was actually really good in terms of the numbers they had there compared with what the Rams...
What benefit was it, though? I mean, obviously, they paid the Roosters, so I think the Roosters made some money out of it because I think they were paid like $100,000 to take the game down there. But in relation to...
Isn't the idea that it will become it's a national game? We want people from all over.
We have no plans for expansion at this point.
No, but we want the love. We want to feel the love, don't we?
Fill the corporate dollars, because I think they want to take Origin down there at some stage.
James Hooper's just nodding his head and shaking.
He doesn't know.
They're looking at doing whether it's the words.
He's already done what does the fox say, so that's him. He's bummed off.
Nice to see you, mate. Have a good trip at Origin.
Can I go into camp now?
Go put the roof oil on.
He's in Kingscliff. Look at that. I can see that oil on the desk there.
Box of tissues.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL stock market.
Yes, we just throw a few things at you, see if you're buying, selling, or holding. The first one, James Hooper in this show. Buying, selling, or holding?
I'll hold.
Hold. What are you, Del? Holding. All right, look, I'm going to start with the Dragons. Their loss to the Titans last night, 20 points to 10. It was one of those games they really needed to win. They've powered out of the blocks, the Dragons, and then they have been in less than a holding pattern. They've been struggling, let's be honest. They had a win against the Knights last week, that come-from-behind win, which many of their fans were hoping with the second-half performance would galvanise them, get them up and about again. The coach says he's worried about confidence levels within the team. I'm worried about season 2017 within the team. Where are you, Ryan Girdle? I know you've been a bit of a supporter across the journey.
Yeah, they're just lacking confidence at the moment. I think at the start of the season, what made the Dragons so good, apart from obviously their go forward through the middle and their dominance, was their big outside backs were coming in and looking to offload, and that's where the confidence was. You know, they were willing to make an error. They were willing to defend an error. At the moment, it looks like they're really tentative. They don't want to make errors, and that's what happens when you lose your confidence, and then it affects your whole game. So look, at the moment, Tony, unfortunately, I've been holding and holding and holding. It's time. I think I've got to sell.
Wow.
Wow.
I think I've just got to sell and get out with anything that I can at the moment.
See,
because
you're not going to hold for another week and maybe buy, or maybe buy.
I actually was excited last night when I saw Kurt Mann get an opportunity in the halves. Yeah. And I was just wondering how that was going to work with Witt up there, both sort of being running sixes and not game managers to speak of. Yep. And I thought that's what McCrone had done really well in the opening part when they were in form. And I understand Mary's trying different options at the moment. Didn't really work with Mann last night, although there was an injury and he got shoved to the wing at some point during the game. I don't know what the answer is for the Dragons. It's hard just to say, oh, they need their confidence back. They've got to earn that back and they've got to work hard for that. And at the moment, the way that they're going, it doesn't look good.
No, it looks like they're going to struggle, you'd think, to hang on to that place in the eight. James Hooper, what are you doing? Buying, selling, or holding on the Drags?
Yeah, I'm going to buy, Tone, just because they are at rock bottom at the moment in terms of the price. So I've been buying the entire time, so yeah. I think I've got to keep going all in.
So what you need then is like two really, really good performances from them, but with the expectation that they're going to fall away, and then sell.
That's what I'm looking for.
That's what you're looking
for? That's exactly what
I'm looking for. So you're starting to play the game Ryan Girdler style, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I've been watching him over the course of the last month, and we've actually been doing a couple of little extra sessions outside of work and whatnot. And, hopefully,
I can't wait to tally up the how much money you guys have spent and how much you've got by the end of the season. I've got my own ready reckoner. So
you've got a ready reckoner?
I have a ready reckoner of what you've bought, sold, and hold. And held, and I'll let you know how you're traveling. Okay. Wendell Saylor's struggling. are you buying, selling, or holding on the Dragons?
I'm going to hold, Tone. I'm going to hold on the Dragons. I reckon they can come through this Origin series. I know Tyson's been injured and stuff, and it's taken a lot out of them, but I just think they got the squad. They know what they can do the first 6 to 8 weeks of the competition. They knew what they could do. They're in a bit of a lull at the moment. All teams go through it. I reckon they can pick it up back end of the season.
It's that whole, that power running, that power forward game that they started with so impressively. And obviously, I guess defences then start to read that, and that's what they, and then looking at plan B has been the issue for the Dragons, hasn't it?
Well, plan B also is their outside backs, and Laffey, and I think Nana McDonald, they haven't been at their best. So a few mistakes coming to their game. You know, they've got to make sure it's a percentage stuff, and that's what the way Murray likes to play. I think they can get that sort of, that form back. But they need to get through this last Origin game, and then I reckon they can pick it up.
They really struggle when they get in attacking zones, when they get down that end and they're looking for like their set pieces. And I think there's a lot of teams at the moment, a lot of the ones that all play a similar style, where they play that sort of through the middle, the Canberras, the Penriths, where they play on the back of momentum. All of a sudden, when they get up to those points where they need to come up with set pieces attacking the other team's try line, they get a little bit lost, and that's where the Melbournes and the sides that do those set pieces and those structures really well have all parts of their games. They complement each other. They get to a certain part of the field, and then they click into another gear, and then they can just put on their set pieces, where the Dragons, again, last night, when they tried to go from side to side, it's not crisp.
Yeah.
It looks really clunky, and it gives the defending team so much time just to get up and shut the play down. So, yeah, they've got a fair bit to work on.
All right, what about the Sharkies? They're defending premiers. Coach Flanagan has admitted that maybe some of the players' focus is they're distracted, and they've got a huge wad of their team who are playing State of Origin for both states. So it is problematic for them to go through. They've only had the one bye through the Origin period as well. He wants that big focus on this big game this afternoon and then see what they can do thereafter. James Hooper, you buying, selling, or holding?
I'm going to buy the Sharkies. Yeah, I think they are still a genuine chance of going back-to-back. Melbourne are the runaway side at the moment, and rightly so. But look, no question, they've got so many big-game players, so many big-name players that they can still make a big imprint on the competition. And, yeah, I'm happy to buy. And you'll get them a little bit cheaper this week, Tone, because they did have that loss at home to the Seagulls last Sunday.
Astute buying. Wendell Saylor?
I'm holding at the moment. Obviously, young Brayley, who's been terrific, you know, he's out with an injury now. And then Seguiaro, I think, still injured. And you've got, I think, New Brown, I think he's coming in to play hooker. So
at Mick
moment,
Ennis has already been on the phone to Shane Flanagan.
He has not. Yeah. That's a lie.
Yes, it is a lie.
No, but, I'm just holding. This is why it's so hard to go back-to-back, because not just the injuries, but you come through this Origin period. I think this is the biggest players' representation the Sharks have had. And that's what takes the Eddie. And sometimes you can't get that second win. But I just think, you know, even Gell last week, Gell didn't play his best game, but I'm holding on the Sharks. I still think they can go back-to-back. But obviously the Storm, as you guys said, mate, they're the leaders at the moment. They're going to be tough to beat.
Good.
I'm cleaning out. this week, Tony. I'm just having a bit of a cleanse. Wow. I'm going through a cycle, and yeah, I'm going to get rid of some stock, and the Sharks, unfortunately, are going to be part of that clean out, a bit of a flush.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, look, I just don't think the loss of, obviously, Jaden Brayley is a big one for him. They put young Brown in there. He's usually a six, so they're going to be hard. It's going to be hard to replace. Seguiaro is probably still a couple of weeks away. So, yeah, I'm just going to let the Sharks ease out for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure whether I'm going to have another nibble on the Sharks at the back end of the season. Haven't really hit their potential at all this year, even though they found themselves in sort of second and third there for a period of time. And it was like, well, when they do click into gear, what can they do? Well, I'm just not sure they're going to click into gear at all. They just seem to be a fair way away from where they need to be.
So you flushed the Sharks.
And in what I've seen with, you know, the Storm especially, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, trying to get the big payday at the end of the season with whoever wins the premiership, the Sharks are a fair way off at the moment.
So you got rid of Dragons, you got rid of the Sharks. Let's try to find something that you might be interested in. Mitchell Moses.
Oh.
Mitchell Moses.
Oh, yeah. You looking at me?
Good. Yeah, I'm looking at you. I'm trying to stock.
I
your stock.
I'd sell Mitchell.
Oh.
He peaked the other night.
What?
I think he's peaked. He had a great game.
He's peaked.
Stocks have gone through
the
roof.
He's like 12 years old.
And look, I think that Corey Norman will come back into play and probably take the reins in the next couple of weeks, and he'll sort of take second fiddle. So, yeah, I'd sell Mitchell.
He rushed up out of the line.
It's a clean out, mate.
He tackled somebody, they lost the ball. They clean out, you're right. Everything must go. Okay, oops.
I'm going to hold on Mitchell. Okay. I think his combination with Corey Norman is continuing to develop. He's developed a brilliant knack for being able to clinch games, tight games with field goals in Golden Point. He did it with the West Tigers when he was there, and he did it with the Eels the other night against the Dogs. So I really rate him as a young, emerging playmaker, but I'm just going to hold for the moment.
Wendell Saylor, what are you doing with Mitchell Moses on the NRL stock market?
I'm going to hold on Mitchell. I think defensively, that's the best I've seen him defend. He got his body in front. He was reading numbers right. As you said, boys, he rushed up and just that clutch play. And I just think his game management was really good the other night, his kicking game. Jamie Soud was on the call, and he was really impressed. And so I reckon I'm holding at the moment because I want to see that from every week, not just once every 3 or 4 weeks. So if Mitchell Moses can do that.
Have you bought or sold anything? You've just held?
No, I'll just hold, mate. That's just the game I'm playing at the moment, mate.
It's just a holding pattern for you.
Yeah, you got no one to hold them.
Exactly. No, we're not to sing that song, which is all the time. All right, and look, finally, just one more to see if I can get you across the line here, Gerds. Week 3 of Wendell Saylor's Mo.
I'm buying.
Oh,
yeah. It's actually thickened up the volume and the girth.
I know.
And then let's chat about the mo. I think it's really come on in the last, you know, 7 days since I've last seen. I'm not sure whether it's the air up there in Brisbane. It's just, or whether he's been walking out there in a wind tunnel and it's sort of fluffed up. But it's, I'm really impressed with it, Wendell, and I think you should stick with it.
Is that the Rogaine?
people have stopped me in the street and they just said, mate, we love you, Mo Dell. And I just didn't think people would recognise him with this money. He's got its own following now.
I love it. All right. It's Saturday, Triple M NRL. We're doing it for Bryden's Lawyers.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. With Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, what a tackle! Beautiful tackle!
Triple M rocks the footy.
Let's just break away from rugby league for one moment to talk boxing. It's been dubbed as the biggest fight ever in Australia. Tens of millions of people around the world will be watching as Jeff Horn, the school teacher from Brisbane, takes on the legendary Manny Pacquiao. It's at Suncorp Stadium. Hoops says up to 60,000 people could be there, including Wendell Saylor, as we know, is ringside, blinging up a storm. He's going to be worldwide. They're going to be looking at that moustache and going, who is that guy? Well, who's that guy? And the man, of course...
Is that Kenny Norton? That's right. Sorry, boys. Just being cocky.
And the man who, of course, is in Brisbane to cover the fight is Brent Reed. Joins us right now. G'day, Reedy.
Hello, lads.
Were you at the weigh-in this morning?
I was at the weigh-in this morning, yeah. Very entertaining. Manny, as always, he actually arrived on time for something.
No way.
Yeah, he did. It was unbelievable. Then he stripped down and proceeded to throw his clothes into the crowd. So It's pretty entertaining.
Did you get anything, Reedy?
I didn't get anything, no.
Don't get your night out last night mixed up with the weigh-in, Reedy.
I was with Andrew Webster.
Oh, the two of you, honestly. So he's stripped down to his Reg Grundy's.
Yep.
And this isn't Webby we're talking about now. And tossed...
Oh, I can't confirm or deny that.
Into the crowd.
This is Webby.
This is Webby on the bus.
I love it. So he seems to be in good spirits then, the Pac-Man.
He seemed in good spirits the whole camp, to be honest. No, I don't know. Look, there's a lot of people saying he's taken Jeff Horn too easily and he's been too relaxed in this camp. I'm not sure if that's just the way Manny Pacquiao is these days, because he used to be a bit of a mean, nasty person. You know, he had a bit of a nasty streak in the last decade or so. He's found God and he's turned his life around. He's a pretty mellow human, I think, these days. So I'm not sure whether that's Manny taking him easy or just Manny being Manny. And look, he looks very relaxed, but so does Jeff Horn, to be fair. It's going to be a really interesting fight because I don't think anyone gives Jeff Horn, not many people give Jeff Horn a chance. But they're talking very confidently. I think they're going to shake up the world tomorrow.
Reedy, you've been covering the fights for many years now. How do you see it unfolding tomorrow?
Well, look, I wrote a column today because I went on the Alex Leopold trip to Germany a few years ago and we were sort of in camp with Alex Leopold and you got swept up in the emotion of it all and you actually thought Leopold was a chance to beat Vladimir Klitschko and obviously that fight ended pretty ugly for Alex Leopold. And there's some parallels here because you've got, you know, Klitschko is one of the great fighters of his time. Manny's one of the great fighters of his time. People thought Klitschko was at the end of his career. People think Manny's at the end of his career. You know, so my concern for Jeff Horn is that maybe we're all looking at this a little bit like we were the Alex Leopold situation. We thought Alex was a chance, but as soon as the bell sounded, you knew Alex Leopold wasn't going to win that fight. But I just think Jeff has to, as long as he puts on a decent performance, win, lose, or draw, you know, his future's guaranteed because this is going live into America. I mean, not 90 million homes in America will get this fight. They reckon the audience in America will be over 10 million. Wow. So regardless of what happens, if Jeff puts on a good fight, that puts him on the radar in America. And this is a division that's stacked with big fights. Like, there's big fighters in this division, particularly in America. So if he can put on a good show, I think his future's guaranteed regardless.
Ready, Matt, I was talking to someone yesterday. Is it true that Jeff Horn is getting 1.7 mil and Manny's getting 15 mil? Is that right, guaranteed?
No. 10. Manny's getting just under 10, I believe, and 10, Jeff's okay. Guaranteed half a million.
Okay.
But I think he gets some sweeteners depending on the pay-per-view and the audience and all that sort of stuff. So, it's not in that sort of domain. Okay.
But still, mate. Why has this been such a big seller? I mean, we know that Horn's not, you know, he's obviously a battler. I think his last fight, he didn't get paid that much. And then obviously Manny is an absolute legend and a gentleman of the game until, obviously, I didn't think he'd be that rude to be on his fame, but I've loved the way that he's fought over the years.
Look, that's all been a bit of a sideshow. I mean, I'll tell you what has helped sell his fight so well is Dean Lonergan. And you guys know Dean as well as I do from the Auckland Nines. You know, Dean's from Duco Events. He's a great promoter, Dean Lonergan, and he's done an amazing job to promote this fight. And he's been happy to throw grenades when it's necessary to rustle up interest in it. I mean, the other aspect to it is there's not many times in your life you get the chance to see a Manny Pacquiao fight. I mean, this guy's a legend of the sport. And I think that's helped obviously drive the ticket sales in Brisbane. And then the final thing is you've got a Queenslander. And we know how rampantly patriotic Queenslanders are. And I think they smell an upset.
Hey, back up, Sparky. How rampantly Wendell Saylor is going for Manny Pacquiao.
I heard that.
He's going for Manny Pacquiao.
Why do I tell him? I'll be letting his camp know.
Dude.
I'm going to the after party tomorrow. I'll get you a band, Del.
I don't care. I've got plenty of after parties to get to, mate. I love Big Del.
But even I, you know, the whole arriving 45 minutes late for that media conference, the Queensland Premier was there, sports
have
minister.
Have you tried to get through the traffic in Queensland?
Brisbane? I know, obviously. But then to be on the phone, I mean, look, I'm a peace-loving man, Brenda, as you know, but I wanted to punch him in the face. I mean, that's just rude, isn't it?
You know, we call it Manny time because when we were over in Manila with him, he'd keep us waiting around for hours to eventually make an appearance to go for his morning run. So I think that's just the way Manny Pacquiao is. He works off his own clock. I mean, Dean Lonergan obviously had a go at Manny after the mobile phone incident. Yeah. And I went up to Manny's trainer afterwards, Freddie Roach, and I said, Freddie, you upset that Dean had a go at you? I had a go at Manny. And Freddie said to me, no, Dean told me he was going to do that. So it was all a bit of a setup. Yeah. So, you know, it's all part of the promotion. I mean, Manny being on his phone, that's what Manny's like. We went out to dinner with him in Manila, He took us out to a sushi restaurant, his favourite sushi restaurant. Mm. He spent the whole time playing a boxing app on his phone. And that's just what he does.
Yeah, he rolls to his own tune, that's for sure. Mm. Hey, Rudy, if Jeff Horn is to have any chance, how does he need to fight? Like, does he need to go out? We see Jeff Fenwick come out today and say he's got to just get out and do the old Marrickville Mauler style of just whatever elbows. It takes and straight on the front foot. How do you think, if he is to have a chance, how does he need to start the fight?
Well, I mean, that's what the guys are saying. Obviously, Jeff said that, and I spoke to Tim Bradley earlier in the week, the American champion who's fought Manny three times. He said a similar thing. I mean, it's interesting because we spoke to Glenn Rushton today, that met Jeff Horn's trainer, and Glenn said he'll actually start the fight very cautiously because he'll want to get a feel for how Manny's going to fight and he'll want to get a feel for Manny's speed and Manny's power. So I don't think we'll see Jeff Horn rush out, plant his chin on Manny's chest and try and bomb him out of there. I don't think that's their plan, but certainly I think there's a sense he probably needs to sit Manny on his pants or knock him out to win the fight because Manny throws so many punches and he's so quick.
Yeah.
You know, if it goes to a decision, I think Jeff might struggle.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Manny hasn't stopped anybody for 8 years something. Yeah. So Jeff Horn certainly doesn't want to be in that category in this fight early. All right. And I understand you've also got a little bit of NRL news for us.
Yeah, look, obviously Melbourne having a great year. We saw what they did last night. I was at that game, actually, with Freddie Roach, watching the game with Freddie Roach. But interesting...
Sorry, I forgot that name you just dropped. Yeah. Yeah. You sound like Wendell Sahlin and Gordon Dulles here, mate.
Webster was there as well. And yeah. Yeah.
But, clothes optional, was it?
Oh, please, that's frightening, Buzz. Oh, don't go there. In terms of... Melbourne. Now, as of late yesterday, they're in talks to try and get Robbie Rockow out of South Sydney. They were doing a swap deal.
Yeah.
Dean Britt, who's Darren Britt's son, plays for Melbourne. They were going to do a swap deal, Robbie Rockow for Dean Britt. As I understand it, that deal went through. So Melbourne, who obviously are having an outstanding year, have now picked up, by the sounds of it, Robbie Rockow, which just gives them more power, doesn't it, in that forward pack. And, they're looking good. They are going to be hard to stop.
Awesome.
Hey, Rudy, the other thing out of last night's game as well was when Josh Maguire got knocked out, we saw some shots of him in the dressing room afterwards, and he was actually on a mobile phone. Now, phones are supposed to be banned, but I checked in with the NRL earlier, and they said that because of the situation with Josh being knocked out, that he was actually allowed to have that phone at that time. So that I think he was actually on the phone to his wife. So he's being cleared. There's no drama there, but there were some people trying to make that into a bit of a storm in a teacup, I think.
I think, am I right in remembering that happened with Corey Norman too? Was it last year? Remember Corey? Yeah, I think it was Corey Norman got on his phone, didn't he? And after he'd been, I can't remember what had happened to him. He was injured, wasn't he? He got on his phone. The NRL said it was all right because he was ringing family members just to assure them he was okay. So, you know, obviously Josh Maguire...
I think they gave the phone to the wrong person if they were trying to explain what happened to him, because Josh Maguire had no idea what had happened to him.
Hoops, you know who reported him, don't you, Hoops? I think it was Andrew Fifita who reported him to the NRL on the phone.
Oh. Wow.
Get ready for game three, boys.
Brent Reed, thank you so much. Enjoy the fight tomorrow. We look forward to reading all about it in The Australian. There he goes. There's Brent Reed for us reporting on the Manny Pacquiao fight for tomorrow. Plenty to come. The Eels and the Doggies will get there. Stirlo joins us at 2:30. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
The time to rewrite history is now.
With Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper. Triple M rocks the footy.
Yes, Stirlo will join us at 2:30 to preview the game. The Roosters and the Sharks will also talk a bit of State of Origin with him. But just, we thought it might be good to give a little bit of a Stirlo taster for you right here, right now. If you listen to Dead Set Legends on a Monday, Stirlo plays a game, What's the Word?, where he attributes a word to each of the NRL teams just to show how they are travelling. Well, he went one better this time around, attributing a personality or a celebrity. Have a listen.
Peter Dan, there's been a change.
Yeah, you've been warning me about this. What is it?
It's kind of not what the word... I've come up... I couldn't really do that, so I've come up with a person that personifies each team going into this weekend, okay?
I love it.
All right, well, you don't know yet, but we'll see.
No. There's a podcast that's based on this very idea, and it goes gangbusters. All right, so let's go in order. Which order do you want me to go? I've got...
Bottom to top.
Okay, West's Tigers.
Donald Trump. Basket case.
Newcastle Knights.
Stephen Bradbury. doing their very best but need plenty to fall over.
Gold Coast Titans.
Jeff Horn, admirably courageous but almost certain to be knocked out.
This is brilliant. Canterbury Bulldogs.
Pamela Anderson, up front, arguably a bit top heavy.
This is great. You've got our panel up, Jordan, absolutely pissing himself. South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Prince George, pedigreed to rule, but not for a long time.
Canberra Raiders.
Our good friend, Anthony Maroon. Doubt as to the ability to concentrate for an entire match.
He'll love that. New Zealand Warriors.
Grant Hackett. Leave their best work on the plane.
Penrith.
Chappelle Corby. They've got themselves into trouble, and there's no easy way out.
Oh, wow. Parramatta Eels.
John Daly, one of my favourites, but has had some management problems when it comes to money.
North Queensland Cowboys.
Elvis Presley. The king has left the building.
Oh, beautiful. Dragons.
Sully Pearson has hit some hurdles, and we're waiting to see the reaction.
Cronulla Sharks.
Florence Nightingale, plenty of patience.
Oh, I thought you meant I thought you meant to say Flojo, Florence Griffith Joyner, who of course was one of the most rampant drug cheats unproven in history. Manly Seagulls.
Now, making an assumption here, Robbie Williams, excellent strike weight rate away from home.
I thought you meant good in the mid-2000s. Brisbane Broncos.
Clint Eastwood, tough, experienced, talented, with a crusty head.
Sydney Roosters.
Bono, super talented, polished performer, but still just that little bit of doubt.
I think you're going to say it's still a bit preachy. And Melbourne Storm to finish.
My favourite, Scarlett Johansson. Oh. Got to love what you see.
Yeah. You know, Match Point was on the other night. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Peter Sterling. That was an excellent edition of What's the Word?
There he is, Sterlo.
So good.
That's on Dead Set Legends. What's the word? Sterlo, though, will be on Saturday Triple M NRL in roughly 45 minutes.
Lovely.
Stick
lovely.
Around. Triple M rocks the footy. The Roosters taking on the Sharks. That is where we are heading in just over 1 hour. 3 o'clock kickoff is in Gosford as we speak in the New South Wales Cup. Wyong 24 lead Newtown 14. Almost an hour done in that game. All right, let's just go backwards to Thursday. Look at the Tyre Power scoreboard. Before I do that, actually, just if you are in terms of listening to the footy, hear every second of Triple M footy wherever you are. Download the Triple M NRL app now. Do it immediately. All right, the Eels and the Doggies, 13-12. The Eels got it done. A golden point, a field goal. Mitchell Moses was the man. He did a great job, Hoops. I know, Wendell, you were in commentary. Were you impressed by him? And especially, I guess, defensively, it wasn't the liability that some say he often is.
Well, look, you know, the local derbies, you can always throw the form guard out the window, and everyone said, you know, the Dogs aren't playing that well. But sometimes the way they're playing, the Dogs, they can bring you down to their form. You know, like Cronulla used to do before they were the Premiers, they can really scrap it out. And the Dogs, mate, the other night you thought that Parramatta were going to put 20 or 30 points on the way it started, but for some reason, they found a way to get back into it in the second half. The first half was all Parramatta. They should have been up by 20 points, but Mitchell Moses, he controlled it really nicely, but also defensively, he seems to, his communication's a lot better with the team. He was really good. Nathan Brown obviously got him on the front foot through the middle. The Dogs in the second half found a way to get back. You know, they scored a try. You thought 12-6, you thought, no way this is going to be a golden point game. Sure enough, we got a golden point game. And Mitchell Moses, he set it up. He found a way to kick the field goal, but not just that. I was just really impressed with his game management. You know, his kicking game. He's just the energy, and his teammates seem to really enjoy playing with him. And it's funny because he's much maligned, I think, Mitchell Moses. You know, people either love him or hate him.
Yeah, it hurts me to say it, Wendell, because I was disappointed when he left the West Tigers. But look, he is a player of prodigious talent, and he's continuing developing. He's only young. I think that he's going to kick on. You know, I really do. I think his combination, having that senior playmaker alongside him in Corey Norman, who's played over 150 NRL games, is hugely advantageous for him. And I think we're going to see him really go to the next level over the course of the next 18 months.
At what point do the Bulldogs now, I mean, their inability to score points is a massive concern. And I agree totally with Wendell in the fact that, you know, some weeks they come out and they really can bring bring other sides down to their level, you know, and flatten the game right out. But in the last couple of weeks, like 12 points and 14 points, and they haven't scored more than like 16 points.
That story during the week, Hazem El Masri in 2004 scored 324 points on his ace, right? The Bulldogs might not score that many collectively as a side over the course of this season. So that sums it up. That says it all. What is it, Gerds? Is it the key position players? What is it, the fact that there's so much structure?
The way that they play, obviously, with their forwards going through the middle and then passing out the back, I think, you know, that's a really hard, doesn't seem to be a system that's working anymore. It might have worked at some point in 2012. I think, it was brilliant. You know, a lot of success. They got him to the grand final. Yep. I think it was just Michael Ennis was there. He was playing dummy half and doing those sort of moves out the back, and it sort of really worked for him, pushed him to the grand final. But every couple of years, I think you got to sort of change it up a little bit. The game changes, and at the moment, they're still sort of playing a style in which it doesn't worry other teams too much because they all slide defend and they can read it so comfortably.
Yeah. Well, Mick Ennis was actually speaking before the game on Fox League, and I heard him say, talking about the fact that he felt, he said he could only speak for him playing in that number nine, but he felt by the end that it was restrictive. The game plan was restrictive to the way, the things he could do, the options that he was allowed to take. And he is concerned that remains the case, and the game has kind of changed a bit since then.
Well, all the talk is, Tone, that they've got the field, Des has got the field essentially drawn up into quadrants and areas, and the players are given the brief that they've got to go out and run to this space at this time, and that's how they're going to play. So whatever they're doing, it's not working at the moment.
Boys, let me tell you, the game could have been different. At the first 10, 15 minutes, they made two really good breaks. I mean, Moses Umboy went straight through. He's just got to back himself then. He went for the pass. It was one-on-one. Gutherson, as we know, is a very good fullback defensively as well. Gutherson sort of had him, but he should have taken him on then through the pass. Obviously turned the ball over, and there was another time there down that left edge where they had numbers, they had 3-on-2 or something. They tried to throw the cutout pass. I think Josh Morris tries to tap it onto the winger, go for the big play, not percentage. Ball goes over the sideline. That turns the momentum of the game. And back to your man, Gerds. Brown, he was outstanding. He made 237 metres, 42 tackles. And
even huge.
His post-match interview, you can see a real maturity in the way that he speaks and talks about his football now.
Okay, the Bulldogs, for them, they had to come out firing, didn't they? They knew, they basically put it out there publicly that was the must win if they had any chance, really, of scraping into the eight, because they do sit now at 4 from the bottom of the ladder on 14 points. So it's a totally different story for Parramatta now. It all opens up for them. They were already at the bottom of the eight there. The Dragons had another loss. They jump up there as well. They're pretty well served with buys, and their run-in looks pretty good as well. So we'll be seeing Parramatta playing finals footy for sure.
I hope so, because I think everyone enjoys watching Parramatta play, and I think we're all disappointed after the start that they had, and then they got those few injuries. But Moses is obviously a great addition. I think Gutherson's found his place there at the back. I mean, what about the try Bevan French scored the other night? So they've got Strike Weckmans all over the park, and I think Nathan Brown just gives them a bit more grunt through the middle. I think they really lacked that probably the last couple of years, that enforcer. And even though he doesn't play that style of game where he's just sort of charging into him because he plays with a lot of skill, I think he gives them that bit of an edge in the pack as well. And I think they're a really dangerous team.
Spoke to Clint Gutherson on Desert Legends during the week. He and his brother, they're sharing a house, and they're building a man cave. They're looking, if anybody's out, they haven't found one for him yet. They're looking for a giant Winx poster, the horse, the racehorse.
Oh, yeah.
A giant Winx poster. So if you've got one, or you've got two, maybe even better, you want to share one with Clint Gutherson, give us a call, 133353. We'll put you in touch. So your Winx poster can hang proudly in Clint Gutherson's man.
He's still up on the northern beaches. Is that where he lives, Gutho? They call him, his nickname's the Mayor of Manly.
Yeah, that's right. So. That's where he started.
Who you should get in contact with is Billy Slater. I think he's got some contacts here around Winx. So, yeah.
Does he really?
He does, yeah.
We're making things happen. All right, so Billy Slater is getting a Winx poster.
For Clint Gutherson.
Yeah, Billy, can you do that for Clint Gutherson's
man cave?
He's always looked up to you, Billy. Clint Gutherson's always looked up to you.
If you do
this for him.
We solve all the big issues on Triple NRL Saturday, mate.
Yeah. This segment was called Big Issues. That's terrific. Plenty more to come. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Doing it for Brighton's Lawyers.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo Footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Protecting your future.